previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
And there's a whole story about a flea who lives on Salacious Crumb, who ends up talking to Luke Skywalker, and his whole tall tale. It's interesting.
That sounds dreadful. Which one of those stories that they describe would you be interested in? Is it the flea and the monkey? Is that your favorite one?
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Hello and welcome to show number 107 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking coffee out of my black Rancho Obi-Wan coffee mug. Thank you for joining me today as we sit back and have some Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, Becca Benjamin and Devin Myers join us as we discuss Rey and Kylo Ren's interactions throughout The Last Jedi. It's such a good conversation that we begin in our interview segment, take a break for Tom and the news, and then return to it in our coffee chat. And if the topic calls for it, we may just go to do this as more of a regular thing throughout Coffee with Kenobi. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Before we kick off the entire show, I'd like to thank everyone for their feedback of Mason's appearance on our show, as well as on the CWK coffee breaks. We've done a lot of things where we tried to plan and make these things unique on our coffee breaks, and we're really excited. We're going to go ahead and do some series now, as opposed to different one-shots. That doesn't mean there won't be one-shots, but right now I like this direction. We're basically going through every phase of the hero's journey. I'm going to be slowly going through different Star Wars collectibles and things that mean a lot to me that hopefully will resonate with each of you. And I want to thank especially Aaron Harris and Jared Cantor for their great suggestions, as well as everyone that helped us out on Twitter. We had a poll of over 85 votes, which was pretty good for a short time for a poll. And that helped a lot to sort of help steer the direction. And back again to our conversation we had with Mason, that, of course, watching the show, watching A New Hope with Mason, who's four. I don't think I mentioned that on the podcast, but he's four. And the things he got out of it and just the moments and the memories we had, again, just reinforced everything and all of your feedback and the emotion that you shared with me and how we kind of empathize with this great thing of introducing Star Wars to our children is really, really one of the highlights for me of Coffee with Kenobi and just my fandom and just as being a dad, really. And I do want to point out, I'm going to talk to Jason Brim about this later, in probably a few weeks on the show, but I did play Star Wars Destiny finally. I have lots of thoughts on it. I really enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. Didn't go so hot at first, but then once I figured out what was going on, very, very cool. So there's more about that. And I'd like to have you look out for an article from me about The Last Jedi from a brand new outlet that I'm going to start writing for in the very near future. I'm really excited to start contributing to this particular site. And I'm really looking forward to sharing much more with you about this next week. So we're going to go ahead and bring in our guest really soon. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Harry's razors. Now, why do I love Harry's razors and shaving with them? And look, yes, this is obviously another sponsor of ours, and we're very fortunate to have them. And I don't have things on the show or partner with different companies unless I like the product and I use a product. And I use Harry's razors. They were kind enough to send me a sample kit because we're working together, and I use it today for the first time, and honestly, like, my beard is tough, and this thing just cut through it like butter. It was really, really good, and I'm not just saying that because this is a promotional. It really is a great shave. It's something I'm definitely going to use, and it's really cool, too, because Harry's is a great shave for a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have also switched to Harry's. Now, Jeff and Andy are the two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, and they started Harry's to fix this whole shaving thing. Now, Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features like vibrating handles, heating blades, 15 lubricating strips, and all that stuff that you don't really need, and all the unnecessary costs that are inherent with that. And now you can deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price, and that's what they do. A good shave, of course, comes down to good blades, and Harry's owns the factory, so they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at the drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Now, how does Harry's tie into your New Year's resolutions? Well, for one thing, you're going to be smarter with your personal finances. Harry's is going to save you about $100 a year if you're a frequent shaver like me. You'll also be able to take better care of yourself physically. Harry's products have won countless grooming awards, and they're going to keep you looking and feeling great. Now, this is the deal. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you the trial shave set for free when you sign up for harrys.com/CWKFamily. You're just going to pay $3 for shipping. That's it. And it's a coffee with Kenobi guarantee, too. It's really, really a fantastic shave. So go ahead and claim your free trial to offer today from Harry's. It's a $13 value, and it's free. And all you got to do is sign up. And we're going to cover the shipping. Harry's is $3 for shipping. And the free trial set is a weighted ergonomic razor handle, which really is a really nice, awesome feel to it. I mean, really, I can't emphasize enough how great these razors are. And then 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade come with it, as well as the rich lather shaving gel, which smells awesome and lathers up really, really good. And you also get a travel blade cover. So please get your free trial now. Go to harrys.com/CWKFamily. That's harrys.com/CWKFamily.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Joining us today for a cup of coffee are the hosts of Kanata's Castle, Becca Benjamin and Devin Myers. Welcome, ladies.
Hey, Red 5 Mom, standing by.
And just Becca, because, you know, Red 5 Mom is the cool one. I always say that. She's got this title. I'm just Becca. I'm just me.
You're just both super cool. It's super cool to have you both on. And the full disclosure, we had a beautiful show that was really, really powerful and insightful and was not recorded. And that was unfortunate, but because these two are troopers and we're going to get through everything again because we've got some important things we want to talk about. And again, it's such a pleasure to have you both on. Becca, last time you were on the show was right when we were just sort of getting our feet wet in the Star Wars podcasting atmosphere. And since then, you're pretty much one of the de facto Star Wars fans and fandom. So it's good to have you on again.
You're way too kind. I'm just me. But thank you. And yeah, as I said off air, I think I was on episode 10 of Coffee with Kenobi. That's really going back.
That's wild. So then Devin, next time you're on, you'll say, well, I was on 107.
107, yeah.
That's right. And many more to come. So before we jump into the feature conversation, which is going to be about Rey and Kylo Ren, I want to go real quickly through Empire Online had a feature for the best movie villains of all time. There are 20 of them there. I won't go ahead and mention all of them now, but I will have a link to that in the show notes. But because this is, of course, a Star Wars podcast, there are 3 Star Wars villains in the list. 15 is Palpatine. Palpatine, who's that? 15 is Palpatine. Well, how late is it? Number 7 is Kylo Ren, or Ren. I'll just kick with my same theme here. And then Vader is, of course, number 1. Now, ladies, how do you feel about these 3 of all the villains, and do you like the order that they're all placed in?
Well, I think
I like that Ovaltine thing, by the way. That was
Ovaltine
good.
Instead of Palpatine.
Yeah.
Well, I like that Vader is in the number 1 slot, but I remember we were talking about how maybe Palpatine needed to be closer to Vader.
I think so.
Yeah, when it comes to bad, I mean, he could easily and probably should be number 1. Now, he's not as cool, so to speak, as Darth Vader, although I guess that is very much a subjective statement. But Darth Vader sells more action figures, I'm sure, than Emperor Palpatine does. I mean, if you just go from kind of the cool little kids dress up thing and just sort of the mystique of Vader, he's definitely number 1. But I agree, Palpatine should be much, much higher because he is not redeemable. Vader clearly is redeemed in a very famous, powerful way. And Kylo's redemption has yet to be determined if it even does happen. So that's why I put Palpatine at number 1 as far as Star Wars villains go, because there's nothing good about him.
Oh, no, I don't think there ever was. Be honest with you.
He made Vader, too. So he's.
There's not hope in Palpatine. There is in Vader, there clearly is. And although it takes a very, very long time to kind of get through that, but he's definitely there. And the other characters on this are. We've got the Joker as number 2, and the pictures of Heath Ledger's Joker, and there's so many amazing portrayals of the Joker, but I think it's fair to say that Vader and Joker are the 2 most iconic villains in the fictional universe, but it's hard to argue against Vader. And Becca, you had said before, Vader's just so recognizable anyway.
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, that's most likely why he got the number 1 spot is because, I mean, like I said, even people who have never seen Star Wars, which, again, I'll say again, I don't understand how that's not possible, but it's okay. They've heard of Darth Vader. Everyone has heard of Darth Vader. So I think it's just natural that he would be your number one top villain because of just how recognizable he is. And he's just, he's been around for, you know, 40 years. So, yeah.
He's the only one that has his own theme song when he walks into the room.
That's right. That is still one of the cool, whether you're hearing it in surround sound or in a theater or at a, on Saturday afternoon at a college football game, it's just such a great song anyway.
It is.
I bet you were thinking about the marching band version when I said that too.
Yep.
I certainly was. I certainly was. And you know, I think maybe, you know, years down the road, where will Kylo fit into this once we have much more of a full picture of him?
Yeah, that's yet to be determined. But yeah, he's definitely relatable for this era as far as a villain goes. Sure. Yeah.
To be sure, which is a great springboard to our first segment. So we'll go ahead and take our first break. And when we come back, I will chat with Becca and Devin about Rey and Kylo Ren and their connection in The Last Jedi. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. And while we're talking about sponsors, I want to give a special shout out to our CWK Patreon family members, like Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Aaron Harris, Angela Souse, Mediocre Jedi, Tyler Wiggins, Christo Hayding, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, and Mark Suter. If you're a Patreon contributor, you are able to help us do so much more as our Coffee with Kenobi network and podcast and YouTube channel continues to grow, and we can't do it without all of your help. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that you do, and we appreciate it so very much. If you give $5 more a month, you get recognition at the start of the show like you just heard. You receive a follow from us on Twitter. $10 or more a month will get you access to our CWK Discord page, which also has an app. So it's basically like you're carrying around a message board where you can talk to members of the CWK family at all times. $35 or more is a coffee mug, and the incentives go on from there. And one of the things you can do, depending on how much you contribute per month, you can host a show with me for 1 week, 2 weeks, or an entire month of shows. There's a lot that goes into being a Coffee with Kenobi Patreon member, and we appreciate you so very much. So if you are at all interested and want to help out the show in this way, then check out the link in our show notes or on our webpage for more information and details. We're back, and we're going to jump right into this because there's a lot of important things to talk about when it comes to Rey and Kylo Ren and the connection they have. And I'm not going to say a bond because I don't think it's a bond, but Becca and Devin and I have talked about this extensively, more than you might realize, and we just think it's important to sort of break down and look at what's going on with these two characters. And Becca, I love your way that you look at it. So please lead us off, if you wouldn't, kind of talk about this connection between the two of them.
Let me see if I can do this again.
I have faith in you.
But I'm going to start off a little differently. I'm going to start where I probably should have the last time. I mean, when we first see them, and I'm going to go back to The Force Awakens, their connection is, it's different, and it's more forced upon Rey than anything. It's very violating the way Kylo Ren, you know, gets into her mind. And it's a very uncomfortable scene, I think, more so for, and not to be gender specific, but I think more so for women watching, especially anyone who's ever experienced something, you know, sort of traumatizing. I mean, Rey is, you know, held down against her will, and he's, you know, basically telling her, I'm going to take what I want. And, you know, it's chilling for this young woman to be, you know, as I said, held against her will, and him, you know, extracting whatever he wants. And then, you know, flash forward into The Last Jedi. And once again, she's being forced to connect. But instead of it being through Kylo, it's through Snoke. And like I said, I think Snoke's major reason for connecting them was to test Kylo Ren, almost like a final test, like a final trial, and to see exactly what this compassion, and I know that probably isn't the proper term, but Snoke does use that term in The Force Awakens for, you know, Kylo and Rey. And I, like we said, I don't think it's a compassion on a caring level. I think he's just drawn to her for the sake of his own selfish needs and what he can get from her. And as they connect more and more, he's trying to break her down in that way, you know, trying to figure out what makes her tick so he can get exactly what he needs from that. And it eventually almost works. And I say almost is because I know Devin mentioned it earlier on that it's no longer on, but we will definitely get to that again. She goes right to the darkness because she's seeking information, and she's seeking information because she needs to find where she belongs and her whole place and everything that's going on with the Force and the Resistance and the First Order. And she needs to know why she's in this. And, you know, for her, it's finding out where she comes from, finding out that lineage, finding where her, who her parents were, thinking that acceptance will help her to figure that out. But, you know, the Force works in mysterious ways and it does not allow her to see that. She sees herself. What I think Rey fails to recognize at that moment is that that image of herself is basically telling her that's all she needs is herself. I mean, she practically raised herself anyway. So she really is her own parent. But, you know, at that moment, Luke, we know, has shut himself off from the Force. She doesn't realize he's basically reconnecting to it at that moment. But she feels at that moment that, you know, she's been trying and trying to get Luke to help her with what she needs, but he's kind of not given that to her. And he's refused to, you know, help her in certain ways where she goes then to Kylo. And at that moment, there's a mutual emotion going on in the sense where they both realize that they're both trying to figure out where they, you know, where they need to be and who they are and why they feel the way they do. And that's their connection on top of that Force connection. And I think that moment when they finally do, it kind of, it backfires on mostly Rey, I think, because again, Kylo's in that sense to me winning. He's showing her a human side to him, which she thinks of him as this monster. You know, she said it more than once, and he even said he was. And when they actually, when he takes off that glove and he does touch her, he's showing this, he's trying to show her that he has this humanity side to him, which we all know is not true at this moment. And maybe we're wrong. We don't know yet. We don't know enough on him. But, you know, Luke storms in like the, you know, like an angry dad finding his daughter in a bedroom with a boy who he doesn't like at all. And that breaks that connection. And she, like most of us young girls, you know, has that argument with dad or that mentor, like, well, you know, in a sense, she's saying, well, if only you would have listened to me in the beginning, we wouldn't have gotten to this point. And he keeps trying to tell her that it's what she thinks she saw and what she thinks she knows isn't exactly how it's going to work out. And she finds that out when she puts all of her hope into Kylo Ren and realizes she made a mistake. She believed in him when she shouldn't. So it's an interesting dynamic with them. I know we've mentioned it in Rian Johnson actually confirmed it, that they are equal halves, but they're opposite at the same time. And you see that here. You know, she's so willing to want to help him for selfless reasons, you know, and he just wants her to help him do what he needs to do. And maybe just like Han Solo said about Snoke, you know, once he gets what he needs from her, he'll throw her away. He'll crush her. We don't know. But yeah, their connection is definitely, it has a chemistry to it, but it's an interesting dynamic. You know, one wants to really help the other when one just wants to use the other to achieve a selfish goal.
Right. Yeah. No, it does. Kylo Ren does not appear to have any semblance of empathy or what that even means. Whereas Rey clearly does not like him. She's very angry with him, especially because of what happened with Han Solo. And she saw everything happen naturally, as we remember very, very well and hauntingly so from The Force Awakens. But when she acquiesces to go and reach out to him and sort of try to see what makes him tick, I think there's zero, and I know that you agree with this as well, I know there's zero romantic feelings there or anything. There's no tension of that way. It's more like, you understand this power that I have, and maybe we can help each other out. Maybe I can help you sort of get back to the light and get back to goodness and find the Ben Skywalker inside yourself and get away from this Kylo Ren nightmare that you are clearly walking in and living in, and you don't even seem to really want or embrace, but you don't seem to know how to do it. I mean, let's face it, there's a psychological thing where people get in a rut and they do things that they know are not good for them. And that could mean, you know, anything on a very surface level to something very, very bad and dangerous. But for many people, it's harder to change than it is to stay with something familiar, even if you know that it's not good for you. And I think that's a lot of what's going on with Kylo Ren. And again, once we see episode 9, we'll have much more of a clear framework for that. But I think that I don't see her being, and The Force Awakens, yes, I agree that she was very much, you know, forced upon by, you know, being basically manacled to that chair. And then he tries to take information from her and, you know, without her permission, and she resists him and pushes him away. And then they have their duel on Starkiller Base, and she bests him. And so to me, of the two of them, I think he is afraid of her. And that's why he wants, basically, if he can't beat him, join him. So I think he wants to recruit her so that he can defeat Snoke, which he definitely does to the chagrin of some people, but that's what happens. And I think she goes along because she wants to help him, even in spite of all that. Now, not at first she didn't want to, but then she just got this poise, this inner peace about her that no Jedi ever really had, that I've ever seen consistently. Now, Luke did. He obviously ran away from that and had to go to Ahsoka to try to basically... Well, as he said, he went there to die because he just couldn't accept what had happened. And I think Rey awakens him to get out of his own way and then become the spark that will light the fire that will take down the First Order eventually with that incredible scene on Crait. But Rey is such a poised, beautifully flawed, but strong-willed and positive force of light in this Star Wars universe. And honestly, we didn't talk about this before, but one of the things I love so much about Rey is that my 4-year-old son, for him, it's totally normal that this woman is the hero of this franchise, and that's just, what other way would there be? I think that is so cool for future generations that this is the character that we have.
Definitely. And I did mention earlier about that scene between Rey and Kylo Ren where they touch hands in the hut, that... And she gets a vision of him turning, and he has a vision of her parents. But I often wondered if what she saw was manipulated by him to get her to come to him. That was all part of his plan. But he had no...
Which part are you talking about?
When she says she had a vision, she told Luke, I saw him turn the light. I'm going to go see him. I'm going to Snoke's ship, and he's going to turn. And then Luke says, it's not going to go the way you think.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I think that she's so poised anyway that I don't know. I mean, Snoke definitely manipulates both of them, but I think they're both pawns in his game. They don't even realize it. And if anything, they kind of use it to their advantage anyway, because they both try to kind of make peace with who they are. And Rey wants to, and Kylo, I think, doesn't even know what the word means.
No, and that's unfortunate. But I think, you know, like we were saying earlier, I think the problem is, and what Luke was trying to say, but he doesn't say it as eloquently as Yoda did in Empire Strikes Back to Luke, is that the future is always in motion. And that's just it. Even though Rey may have seen what she thought she saw as, you know, Ben's future being on the light side, that can change depending on what other actions take place before what she thinks is going to happen happens. And it does shift. It doesn't go the way she thinks. I mean, it partially does. They help each other. He saves her in a sense. And, you know, well, at least in her mind, he's saving her, but he's actually using her to achieve his goal, and that's taking out Snoke. And then in the end, really all he wants is for her to join him so they can basically be on the same side and take everyone else out. And it's not where she wants to go. It's not a path that she's going to follow. Just like Dan was saying, she's always into the light, and that's where she's going to stay. There is no bartering with the dark. It's just, you know, she's going to stay on this track, and that's where she's going to go.
That's right.
Exactly. Her dark side is thinking that she doesn't have worth and that she doesn't have a purpose without her parents. And that's her darkness. That's why she's so willing to jump into that cave to see what the darkness is, because she wants to confront it. Whereas Luke flies across, you know, a galaxy to stay away from knowledge. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why Rey is also so powerful, because she's not afraid of that.
No. She's a character that I think a lot of girls need to look up to. You know, she's very smart. She can take care of herself. She can defend herself. When you read her journal, if you've ever read her journal, I just love that little book. It just tells you all the little things that she did to better herself. You know, she got the flight simulators and learned how to fly all those ships. Obviously, she knows a lot about building the ships because she takes the parts out of them. And, you know, she's far cooler than a lot of heroes that we've had in the past, just for that reason. She's so multifaceted.
I agree. Right. She's got that innocence about her, which I absolutely love. And, you know, Luke had that too. I'm not going to, you know, he did. Yeah. And she carries that through, but she is so quick with her wit and how to figure out things. And we see that even with episode 7 with her and Han and flying the Falcon and, you know, how she can fix things right on a whim, you know. And she says it with this face and she's so like adorable, like at the same time. And he's like, huh. She's just a breath of fresh air. And I love what Dan said, that your 4-year-old son just absolutely adores her, and he doesn't think anything of it that she's a girl and she's in that position. And to echo that, my son, when he first saw Rey in 2015, he was about 14, just about to go on 15 at the time. And I think, right? Yeah. And Rey is his favorite character going forward now. Like, he absolutely thinks she is just a kick butt character, loves her. And it has nothing to do with that he thinks she's cute. He told me that straight up. It has nothing to do with that. He just likes her character because she's just awesome.
Yeah, and she goes along with what's going on because she wants to find out. She wants to find out, and like you had both said, he's trying to use her for his own purposes, to defeat Snoke and to basically take his place as he sees his stance, or his... basically, his presence needs to be in the galaxy, where she just wants knowledge. And whenever you see, especially in children's literature or in literature in general, when knowledge is your goal and your mission, and that's what you're striving for, that's where you see the most well-rounded characters, the most powerful characters, and the ones that are just have this internal compass that leads them towards light and truth and understanding. And she has that. So it makes sense that Kylo Ren, in a way, would be drawn towards her, and not in an attraction, but more of a, like, I want that. I want that peace of mind. Now, for him, peace of mind, maybe it means being at peace with, you know, fratricide, or not fratricide, that would be killing a brother, but with, you know, killing your father, or whatever it is. He wants to be like his grandfather, and he's got the conflicted part down, but the... Vader had poise. He was definitely conflicted, but he was able to hide it very, very well from just about everyone in the galaxy. Whereas Kylo Ren wears it like this, this constantly bleeding wound, really. Right. And no wonder he's has this frustration. I mean, even his lightsaber growls. He doesn't like himself, and his lightsaber is angry too.
He's just as unstable as that crystal.
Unstable. That's young right. Man. Yeah, with temper tantrums, a tendency toward temper tantrums.
That's right. Which, and I think we talked about this before as well, but when people say that, you know, Kylo Ren has these emo qualities, I don't see that. I don't think that's fair. I think it's very much a sexist stereotype to say that a man can't be, you know, flawed and that they always have to be in control of their emotions and not get upset. Well, he does get upset a lot. And that doesn't make him weak. And in many ways, I think that makes him stronger. But I think it's fair to say that Kylo Ren doesn't see it that way. I think he finds frustration. And he thinks that he is weak. And that's why he can't even decide if he wants to wear the mask or how he wants to present himself, because he just doesn't know. He's just not comfortable with self. And that's such a detrimental thing and a powerful metaphor for, I think, that we can carry into our own lives as well. And that we can pass on to our children and into just the culture in general. Find that inner peace within self is why Rey is the hero and Kylo Ren is the villain.
And I think Kylo Ren has an issue with trying to find out how he fits in. He has an issue with who he is, an identity crisis, so to speak. And I think that's where he falls prey to his own emotions. And similar to Anakin, I think Anakin, before he was Vader, loved too much, if that's such a thing, where it became almost an obsession, like a need, and where Kylo is the opposite. It's not about loving too much. He feels too much all around. And I think that's his conflict. It's he feels too strongly about everything. You know, he's quick to be upset really quickly. He's sad. He's confused and all that just. He's like a soda bottle, you know, and you shake it up and it just explodes.
Well, he said I love himself it. When he talked to Han Solo before he killed him, I'm being torn apart. And it's still happening. And Snoke does it to him on purpose. Mm-hmm. He dresses him down, you know, in front of all the Praetorian
child in a mask.
And right. Yeah, you know, and so that sets Kylo Ren off like, well, then I'm just smashing the mask and I'm never wearing it again. You know, so yeah. he's very absolute. Like you were saying one time, Becca, that's how Kylo Ren deals with things. It just in absolutes.
Yes.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that frustration when he's smashing that mask is something that's never going to go away, because even though he doesn't have the helmet, he's still wearing a mask. He still isn't recognizable as far as who he sees himself as or who he wants to see himself as, because he doesn't even know. And that's why there's a lot of fascinating layers to this film and these characters that, again, we'll see so much more of with Episode 9 and wherever else this franchise takes us. So This was definitely worth revisiting. Talk about deja vu, but you both bring so much knowledge and insight, and it's no wonder that Kanata's Castle is such a great podcast to listen to.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, Tom has news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Greetings. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Before we continue the show, I'm going to give you a task. Pick out a wine that you're going to love, but there is a catch. It has to be one you haven't had before. Now, where would you start? Introducing Wink, spelled W-I-N-C. Wink's name actually comes from the combination of wine plus incorporated. So wine plus ink equals Wink. Wink makes it easy to discover great wine. Because Wink's wine experts select wines matched to your taste, personalized for you, and also shipped right to your door, starting at just $13 a bottle, Wink makes exploring new wines fun and easy with delicious wine based on your taste delivered right to your doorstep every month. And in Valentine's Day coming just around the corner, there's no better way to get that special gift for that special someone. And there's nothing like coming home to a box of delicious wine selected for you from Wink anyway. It's the best day of your month. In fact, we just got our first selection of wines earlier this week. It was really, really exciting. They're all packaged beautifully. The wine bottles themselves are works of art, and we can't wait to try them out and see what they're all about. So what we did is, what's something that you would do? Fill out Wink's palate profile quiz. You answer simple questions that your average store clerk wouldn't ask or translate into a recommendation. And the questions range from things like, how do you take your coffee and how do you feel about blueberries? Then Wink selects wines curated to your tastes. The more wines you rate, the more personalized your monthly selections. Each month there are new delicious wines, like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé. There are no membership fees. You can skip any month and cancel anytime. Shipping is covered, and if you don't like a bottle they send you, they replace it with a bottle you'll love with no questions asked. With online ordering, quick shipping, and personalized recommendations, Wink makes discovering wine you love easy. You'll also love the Wink Journal included with your wine each month, giving you recipes to pair with your wines, info about the selections curated for you, and it has a great design making it perfect for the coffee table. It's all too easy to go into a store and settle for the same bottle of wine you always get that just leaves you feeling kind of meh, but it is so much easier to let Wink ship wine right to your door that is perfectly matched for you. So sit back and relax, or celebrate with your glass. You have finally discovered the best way to find new wines that you'll love with Wink. So discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/CWKfamily and you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's right, trywink.com/CWKfamily for $20 off. trywink.com/CWKfamily for a great Valentine's Day gift for your loved one.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
We're back, and Tom has a number of Star Wars news stories for us. Tom, take it away.
That is right, and we'll get right to it. Star Wars Secrets of Empire Hyperreality Experience by ILM, X-Lab, and The Void opened last month in downtown Disney Anaheim, Disney Springs in Orlando, and in London. In the experience, participants gear up with a VR headset and chest plate gear to transform themselves into a rebel covert operation as stormtroopers. Participants enter the realm where they see themselves and friends don the armor and weapons of a stormtrooper right before their eyes. In an interview released this week on the Star Wars Show, senior creative producer of ILM X-Lab, Diana Williams, says it has a richness no matter where you look. It's the ability to move your body through a space and it becomes real to you. Everyone comes out with a different story depending on what you touch or don't touch, or what decision you make or don't make. And now that the experience has been open, we've learned out there that there are Easter eggs all over the experience to enhance the enjoyment. According to Dan Brooks on StarWars.com, he specifically mentions that the fulcrum symbol is out there to be found. And the writer of the experience, no stranger to Star Wars stories, David S. Goyer, explains that this is an authentic Star Wars story where you may find the goal that is a new artifact that adds to the Star Wars mythology. The best message I've heard about this story, though, is Diana Williams confirming that there will be lots more locations to come for this experience.
I heard that as well on the Star Wars Show, and my first thought was, ooh, come on, Chicago.
Yeah.
That would be a good Coffee with Kenobi field trip, I think. did any of you see the highlights of this on the Star Wars Show this week? Because it looks spectacular. I mean, it's very all-encompassing because you get sights, sounds, smells, you know, texture, because you're walking around in these rooms, and it just looks like a magnificent way to embrace Star Wars.
We're blank. I have not seen anything about this, so I'm excited to try it someday for sure.
Yeah, right now it's at Disney World, Disneyland, and in London. And it's like I said, it's virtual reality, but you hand a blaster and you are stormtroopers and you're taken around by K2SO. And I think it's on Mustafar, isn't it, Tom?
It is. And what really struck me on the show today, there are two things. One is, you know, the Andy and Anthony both put on the arm and they took the camera in with them or had some sort of a front facing camera. And, you know, they're in a room and they're walking through these passages that are just plain gray to us as the viewer. But inside the VR, it's a whole different world. And the second thing that made me think about this as being a potential travel thing is their description of the London experience is that it's a pop-up experience in London. So I'm wondering if these are going to be able to be like transportable and city to city tours. I don't know. That's me making things up in my mind in hopes of, like you said, a cool field trip.
That's sort of how I took it as well. What else do you have going on for us?
In a follow-up to last week's story on the decline of Star Wars toy sales in 2017, a former toy executive and financial toy analyst, Lutz Mueller, published a report titled "Children are giving a pass on cable TV and cinemas, and this is bad news for Hasbro and Mattel." Hasbro, of course, holds the license to Star Wars toys. Now, in the report, Mueller states that statistically, almost half of 1 through 11-year-olds, now those are the ones that are in the market for toys, of course, they do not watch television or attend cinemas as much. The argument for this is that their parents are cord cutters or were never cord watchers. In other words, a large portion of the television audience is tired of mediocre content and having to sift through the ads and commercial breaks. When streaming services are ad-free and people can curate their own entertainment when they want it. So simply, they cut the cable cord, therefore affecting the children who in the past saw the programs for which the toys represented, along with marketing campaigns for the toys. And the same holds true for the cinema. Eventually, many movies that adults and families watch end up somewhere in a streaming service, so why pay the big bucks for a night out with the family when streaming service makes it cheaper to just watch at home? So how does this impact the toy industry? Well, half of Mattel and Hasbro's businesses are through cable television and cinema licenses. Therefore, since the audience from kids desiring the toys to reaching those who hold the money and decisions isn't seeing their products or characters and stories involving the toy products, sales are declining. And according to Mueller, this is one reason why companies like Disney are purchasing Fox and other media outlets. This opens the door to holding the keys to Hulu or other streaming services, or to direct more eyes to their own streaming services that will have immediate releases of their franchise characters, such as Mickey Mouse, Spider-Man, or Star Wars, and other large toy market films. Now, we shall see how this all shakes out in the future, of course, but hopefully, between now and then, we will not see too many other casualties like what we are currently seeing with Toys R Us.
Interesting. Well, yeah, what's going on with Toys R Us is heartbreaking because you don't want to see anyone lose their job. When it comes to Star Wars and merchandise, I believe we talked about this last week on Show 106, but collectors are still buying Star Wars, but it's kids that aren't. And you wonder if with Disney having their own streaming service and kind of who knows how else they'll sort of incorporate that throughout. Because you feel like Star Wars would have an audience regardless of whether it's on TV or not, because it's just such a juggernaut in box offices and in popular culture. But there's definitely a shift. And ladies, when you heard the news that toy sales were dramatically down at the end of 2017, does that make you nervous as a Star Wars fan or collector?
Well, I don't really buy that much anymore. I know that sounds terrible. I mean, most of my stuff now is, you know, something I can read versus as, you know, the other stuff or something I can hang on the wall like art. And my kids are grown, so I don't really have, you know, any reason to buy, you know, the toys. My son still likes the Legos, but it has to be like the big sets now because he's going to be 16 sure. And then on the shelf and that's where they sit. So, you know, I guess I'm not worried because it's Star Wars. Star Wars, I think, will always make a profit. I mean, it's too huge not to. I think other products and other lines might fall, you know, from where they need to be and kind of be erased, I guess. I hate to say it, but I don't think Star Wars is in any kind of trouble. I just don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, but it does make me nervous when I walk down the aisles at Walmart like I did the other night and everything's on clearance already.
I did notice that too, but I think that they're just making room for the Han Solo
stuff. Oh, that's true. I like that, Devin. That's true. Plus, we're such a quick, you know, we're kind of an ADD culture right now anyway, where our attention's just to the next thing right away.
Oh, I know.
Well, we'll move on to our next story, where Rian Johnson sat down with Collider.com at the IMAX headquarters after a showing of Star Wars The Last Jedi this week. The full interview of just over an hour and 20 minutes can be seen on the Coffee with Kenobi website or on the IMAX Facebook page. Johnson, as always, is gracious and answers just about everything. And early in the interview, he is asked to describe the process of writing the opening crawl. And Johnson said that when he sat down to do that, it was a bit petrifying, but he found it a good way to jump into the pool. And he reports that just as he just sat down and wrote it, and he remembered George Lucas saying that writing the crawl was like writing poetry. And Johnson agrees, not because necessarily it's poetic, but because every word is so important. The crawl became the very last thing then that they worked on before finalizing the movie. The interview continues as Johnson discusses Star Wars in his childhood, criticisms of the film, working with actors, and confirms that there will be at least 20 minutes of deleted footage on the Blu-ray. So if you've got an hour, Coffee with Kenobi blogger Lisa Dullard suggests it's well worth setting time aside to watch.
Wow, I love that, the idea of that it's poetry because every word has meaning and magnitude, and just as a sort of a student of linguistics anyway, I think that's so fascinating. It's almost like it would be a good assignment for students. Hey, write a crawl for your life. By the way, you only get three paragraphs, and every word is extremely important. I mean, that's so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah. Never thought of it that way. Write a crawl for your life. There's a good assignment for you to give your kids.
Oh, very much. Becca, don't you love that? I mean, you're a writer. Doesn't that sound so cool? Just the notion of having to sit down and write that crawl.
Yes, but only three paragraphs. I don't like being limited.
Well, you got to get the movie started.
I know. I like to color outside the lines, so to speak. I always have. But yeah, if you're going to hand out that assignment, I don't want to be in your class.
I'll save a seat for you all the same.
Oh, well, thanks.
Well, and Rian Johnson had referred to an interview with George Lucas that he said that. So I would love to catch that interview. Oh, well, to wrap up the news today, director Ron Howard has been teasing that Solo: A Star Wars Story season of marketing may begin Sunday night during the Super Bowl. Ooh. However, reports are indicating more of a tease during the game with an exclusive trailer airing the next morning on Good Morning America. So stay tuned, Star Wars fans. Our very first taste is soon.
Yeah, I saw the tweet, and it basically says, "Hey, who's watching the Super Bowl?" Yeah, which could be sort of a stretch, but we know, I mean, they're going to have to market it pretty soon. It's going to come out in about an hour and a half, it seems like. So I love that, and I don't want it to come on during the Super Bowl because I don't want to stop watching the game or watch This Is Us after the game and have to do a show about Solo. Yeah, I don't want to wait till the next day. It's very selfish, isn't it? Well, okay.
Get yourself ready, Devin, because if it does come out Sunday, we will be talking.
I know.
Absolutely. Oh, my. Twitter will blow up. Between that and the Super Bowl, Twitter might break.
No, right?
I think for sure. Once that trailer hits, it's going to be on.
It's going to be exciting. Tom,
yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing this. That was a lot in a small amount of time. We really appreciate the enthusiasm and information.
Absolutely. My pleasure as always.
We'll go ahead and take our last break, and we will return and find out where to find Becca and Devin's awesome contributions to Star Wars fandom. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Wink, Harry's Razors, and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own iTunes feeds now. A huge, huge thank you to Becca Benjamin and Devin Myers for joining us today. Where can listeners find both you and your contributions to Star Wars fandom?
Hit it, Red 5 Mom.
Oh, I'm first. Okay. Well, mine's easy. If you go to @Red5Mom or Red5Mom on any social media, you're going to find me.
If you find her somewhere other than that, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, let me know.
And she wants to know.
I want to know.
For me, best place is Twitter. I'm there more than anything. So find me there at @YouAreAngelB. And there you'll see my whole list, my whole bio. And that's where you can read from me or listen to me. But you can find Kanata's Castle at RetroZap.com at their podcast network there. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. Oh, geez. Podknife. Help me out, Devin. Where else?
iTunes, Libsyn, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podknife.
And Player FM, yes?
Oh, that too, yes.
Yes, so you can find us there. You guys can also interact with us on Twitter at Castle Kanata and Facebook and Instagram at Kanata's Castle Podcast.
You bet, and we will definitely have links to all of these things in the show notes. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars discussion. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.